From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The top United Nations official in Afghanistan is strongly denying he ignored or tried to cover up widespread fraud during the country's recent presidential elections. It's the latest twist in a battle of words between senior UN officials in Afghanistan. NPR's Jackie Northam has more from Kabul.
Kai Eide, a Norwegian and the top UN official in Afghanistan, did not mince his words as he defended himself against critical remarks by Peter Galbraith, his former deputy and an American diplomat. Galbraith was fired earlier this month during a public spat with Eide over how to deal with the fraud during Afghanistan's presidential election. Galbraith accused Eide of turning a blind eye to the widespread ballot stuffing and the like. Eide says the allegations are unfounded.
Yes, it has affected me. It's been an attack on my integrity. I think it's not been dignified. It's not been fair. It's not been true. But that's the way it is.
Eide says Galbraith's allegations have affected the whole election process. The final results of the August 20th elections are expected this week. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
Meanwhile, Washington's focused on whether to send more American troops to Afghanistan, where the insurgency is gaining strength. Today on CBS's Face the Nation, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said GOP lawmakers would support President Obama if he asked for the troop surge commanders are recommending. Three bombings have rocked the Iraqi city of Ramadi in a province that was once the center of the insurgency. At least 22 people are dead and more than 60 wounded. NPR's Quill Lawrence has more from Baghdad.
First, a car bomb exploded inside the parking lot of Ramadi's police station. Then a suicide bomber, possibly riding a motorcycle, rammed into the growing crowd of police and rescue workers. The third blast occurred shortly afterward outside of Ramadi's main hospital, killing guards who prevented the suicide car bomb from breaching the gate. Ramadi, the capital of Anbar province, was a center of militant attacks against Americans and the Iraqi government. It was later the birthplace of the Awakening, when Sunni Arab tribes turned against al-Qaeda. The U.S. military paid the tribal fighters, but that funding is now drying up as U.S. troops draw down. And some Anbar residents fear that violence may return, especially in advance of Iraq's national elections in January. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Baghdad.
The Pakistani military is reviewing its security procedures after suspected Taliban militants stormed army headquarters in Rawalpindi and took dozens of hostages this weekend. The standoff ended nearly a day later when commandos raided the complex at dawn and freed the captives. But more than a dozen lives, including security forces and militants, were lost during the siege. Militants attacked a day after the Taliban launched a suicide attack in Peshawar and killed nearly 50 people. This is NPR News. In the U.S., gay rights organizers expected tens of thousands of people at today's big rally in Washington. They're demanding equal legal protections. Robin McKee, co-director of the National Equality March, says the movement is bolstered by President Obama's promise to help the gay and lesbian community.
To hear a president, as well as, you know, someone who is running for office, talk about our community in such an inclusive way has always been very inspiring to me and one of the reasons that I campaigned for him. But the reality is I want to know when that's going to be.
In a speech last night in Washington, President Obama pledged to end the ban on openly gay people serving in the military. There could be a bit less orange around this Halloween. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, pumpkin growers in parts of the U.S. and Canada are feeling the squeeze.
On the eve of Canada's Thanksgiving, and with Halloween only 3 weeks away, there are fears of a pumpkin shortage. Some farmers in Manitoba say this year's pumpkins aren't as big as they've been in the past, and there are far fewer of them. Some estimate about a 40% pumpkin crop loss. There could be several explanations for the poor crop. With widespread flooding across the province in the spring, many fields were covered with water. Summer growers also had to contend with cool, wet weather. And in September, warm weather set in and led to deer and other animals eating up the pumpkins. The story is much the same across Western Canada and in the northeastern United States, where many farmers are facing their worst pumpkin crop in 40 years. So the scramble will be on at the markets to find those perfect jack-o'-lantern pumpkins before the dwindling supply runs out. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.